That Chinese study wasn't the only anti-tumor study that was done on the xanthones. Scientists at Gifu University in Japan in 2002 proved that the xanthones could stop the proliferation of human leukemia cells in culture. Researchers just a couple of months ago in Thailand at Mahindon University did the same thing with breast cancer cultures. In fact, I think it's remarkable that the xanthones have never been tested against any cancer cells that they haven't been able to kill. So, does it make sense to take a dose of mangosteen daily? I think so, especially if its xanthones have shown anti-tumor action and the ability to stimulate our immune system to suppress cancer. I don't think there's any doubt. The answer is simply yes. Now, one thing that's important to remember. This is a food. It's not a drug or a medicine that needs millions of dollars worth of tests and studies to determine safety and efficacy. I'm sufficiently impressed by the laboratory studies, impressed to the point where even though we can't conclude absolutely that what happens in a laboratory dish is going to happen in the human body, still, I'm prepared to eat that food. Okay, I think we've said enough about anti-tumor properties. Let's look at the gastrointestinal system. Last year, I traveled to Thailand, and I was able to interview the chief Buddhist monk in that country. Now, this monk, when I say the chief monk, I mean the man who was responsible for providing Thai traditional medicine to the people. He was the keeper of the records. He was also a practitioner. To be honest, this particular Buddhist monk really didn't treat the general public. He only treated the Thai royal family, government VIPs, and patients who traveled from abroad to Thailand for treatment. In fact, when I set up the appointment and went to see him, he thought that I was coming for treatment. But when we understood what I wanted, and I was able to ask him what he used the mangosteen for medicinally, he swept his hand from his chin down over his thorax and abdomen right to his pelvis and said, "Anything that goes wrong in here." Now, obviously, that wasn't enough for me. So through the interpreter, I sought precision and I described essentially all of the common GI conditions such as ulcers, gastroesophageal reflux disease, gastritis, irritable bowel disease, gastroenteritis, diverticulitis, and I even talked about the terrible diseases like bowel cancer, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's disease. And he confirmed that he would use the mangosteen for all of those entities. Once again, we need to think about this. He used one food product, whereas doctors, we would use eight or more medicines. Since that time, I've used the juice in many patients with gastrointestinal complaints, and I obtained results that were equal to or even surpassed the drugs that I used to use. In fact, when all medical conditions are considered, in my practice, I discontinued the use of over 20 medications in favor of the mangosteen juice. And when I did it, I had a very high level of patient satisfaction. I suspect that a lot of people who use medicines would prefer not to. At least that was the case in my practice. As a result of the success of those substitutions, I've often subsequently had the opportunity to ask the public when I'm in meetings and doctors in private the big question, why would anyone use a medicine when a food could do the same thing? Okay, I've mentioned the nasty word drugs. We're on the subject of drugs, and so let's consider for a moment just how dangerous they can be. The Journal of the American Medical Association, a couple of years ago, published the results of a study estimating that 106,000 to 108,000 people died in a single year from adverse drug reactions. Think about that. That's about 296 people a day. Can you imagine the uproar, the repercussions that we'd witness if 296 people died each day because an airliner crashed? We would soon have investigations, we would have congressional committees, something would change. When I'm talking about death from adverse drug reactions, I need to clarify that these deaths occurred when the doctors correctly diagnosed the illness. They correctly prescribed the right drug. And the pharmacist correctly filled the prescriptions. If I were to include the people who died as a result of medical mistakes, as well as adverse drug reactions, the figure is going to more than double. And in some lists of medicinal causes of death, this iatrogenic, now iatrogenic means doctor-caused, death toll becomes the third largest cause of death after heart disease combined with stroke and cancer. Now, doesn't that give you a reason to stop and think before you take a drug for some minor complaint?